Family, I wonder how many of you remember playing that famous childhood game, Red Light, Green Light. Now, as I look back on my years on the elementary school playground, I think Red Light, Green Light was probably one of my favorite games. Now, for those of you who are perhaps maybe a little slow in remembering, Red Light, Green Light is one of those games that starts with children out on a playground or out in an open room. And you have all the kids on one end of the field or the room. And then on the other end opposite them, you have one person who's kind of acting like the traffic light. And that person will call out red light or green light or yellow light throughout the course of the game. Now, each of those instructions comes with specific actions, of course. When that traffic light person says green light, well, the children are then allowed to run and move toward the traffic person as fast as they can. Yellow light means they need to slow down, and sometimes kids will even move in slow motion during the yellow light. But of course, red light means that they must come to a complete stop. But of course, you know this, the purpose of that game is to keep advancing. That's the purpose, to keep moving forward, to keep advancing. Each child is moving in this direction. They're trying to make it over to that traffic light person so that they can have a turn then in the fun of calling out the instructions out to the class. Well, family, perhaps you've never ever thought about it this way before, but you know, there's a lot of similarities between that childhood game, red light, green light, and the Christian life. Just like in red light, green light, the Bible says that the Christian life has a starting point, and the Christian life also has a goal to reach. And in the middle, in that space in between, is all about advancement. When it comes to your Christian life journey, God doesn't want to see you moving backward, and He certainly doesn't want to see your spiritual life at a dead stop either. Rather, God wants to see you as a Christian keep advancing. He wants to see you keep growing with forward progress. Yes, it may be slow from time to time. Some days it might even feel like your Christian life's moving in slow motion. But even if it is slow, God still wants that forward progress to be happening. He wants you to keep advancing in greater maturity toward Jesus Christ. Well, friends, today in this message that I've entitled Spiritual Advancement, we are coming to a great section here in John's first epistle. And John is going to encourage Christians to keep advancing in their walk. They're to keep advancing in light of all of the blessings, in light of all of the possessions that are theirs because of Jesus Christ. So, friends, let's take our Bibles this morning and let's come to this great text, which is here in 1 John chapter 2. In verses 12 to 14. Now, friends, just so we can keep our thinking on track, I want us to pause here just briefly, just for a moment, just to review quickly just some of the key facts about this epistle. 1 John was written by the Apostle John, not in his early years when he was one of Jesus' 12 disciples. No, 1 John was written much, much later. 1 John was written in some of the final decades of the first century. And by this point, John was the last living apostle. Because of that, he was looked up to, he was appreciated, he was admired, he was greatly loved by the Christians of the first century. Now, at this point in church history, Christianity was well on its way. Christianity was now into the second generation of believers. And John was writing to a group of Christians that at the time in which they were living, again, in these final decades of the first century, the Christians of that era were starting to be negatively influenced by some false teaching, some false teachers who were coming along and promoting Greek philosophies. These were philosophies that were contrary to the truth of God. These false teachers were coming alongside of these Christians and saying, hey, we're in the know. And we've got the deep knowledge. We've got the real knowledge. So if you want to have a relationship with God, if you want to be in the know with God, you need to follow us. Well, John had to push back hard against these false teachings because these false teachers were promoting actually unbiblical ideas and unholy lifestyles. These false teachers were promoting errors rather than truth. They were pushing darkness rather than light. Family, with this clash of ideas that was going on in the Christians' minds, some of these Christians were starting to struggle with their own assurance. Here they were hearing a lot of contrary ideas, and some of them were even beginning to wonder, do I have a right relationship with God? Do I have that true salvation? Well, that brings us to this section that we're studying today in chapter 2. And here in 1 John chapter 2, John is going to encourage these believers with a reminder of their Christian journey. John's going to remind them who they are in Christ and what blessings they already possess. So let's read our text here this morning, and then we're going to glean some really great insights here about this topic of spiritual advancement. So let's look at God's word here. 1 John chapter 2, we're going to read from verse 12 down to verse 14. Here's what Scripture says. I am writing to you, little children, because your sins are forgiven for His name's sake. I am writing to you, fathers, because you know Him who is from the beginning. I am writing to you, young men, because you have overcome the evil one. I write to you, children, because you know the Father. I write to you, fathers, because you know Him who is from the beginning. I write to you, young men, because you are strong and the word of God abides in you and you have overcome the evil one. Now, family, down through the years, these verses we just read have often given scholars a bit of a challenge because these verses come from John's pen almost like the stanzas of a poem. These are stanzas that kind of flow like a poem. They're poetic in the way they're laid out, and they even kind of wrap around and repeat a second time. But friends, even though these verses are unique, they certainly do present to us important truth. These verses present to us, in one aspect, what we're going to discuss here for a moment, are three stages of spiritual advancement. We're going to talk about three stages of spiritual advancement that are here, and then we're going to spend the rest of our time thinking about some encouraging realities that are true of all born-again believers. So family, as we digest this text now, what are three basic stages of spiritual advancement? What are some of these encouraging realities that every believer experiences? And what does all of that stuff mean for your Christian life and mine here in the present? Well, let's begin here, friends. Let's unpack together these three stages of spiritual advancement. Here's the first one, little children. Little children. Here we're talking about the newly converted or the novices of faith. Here's the first one. Little children, they're the newly converted or novices of faith. Now, family, because these verses line up very clearly, very distinctly in this parallel fashion, it's clear John is addressing three distinct groups. But many Bible scholars agree that John is addressing all the believers. He's addressing all the believers who received his letter. But instead of speaking to them with physical categories or even biological categories, it seems that how John addresses them is by using some spiritual categories, or what you and I might call three spiritual stages. Three spiritual stages that all Christians are moving through, including everyone who received this epistle. Look at the first stage there. It's mentioned in verse 12, and it's again in verse 13. Little children. Little children. Here, of course, John is talking about someone who's a new convert, someone who's a new believer in Jesus Christ. By spiritual standards, they're still a novice. They're a novice because it wasn't that long ago that they had heard the gospel and they repented of their sins and they believed by faith on Jesus Christ. You know, sometimes a new convert is 10 years old. Sometimes that new convert is 30 years old. You know, it's not uncommon. Sometimes a new convert is even 70 years old. Sometimes 80 years old when they finally come to Christ. Listen, physical age isn't the issue. What we're talking about is the advancement in spiritual things. And that new convert, that child, so to speak, this category of children, their advancement in spiritual things, it's just getting started. And the truth is, listen, every single Christian has been here. Every single Christian begins in this novice childhood stage. But here's a second stage we see in spiritual advancement. Here's a second one. Young men. Young men. We would define this as maturing believers with action and energy. Here's that second stage. Young men. Maturing believers with action and energy. Now, family, I think you noticed here, even though John doesn't present them in this exact order, if we are thinking about the progression of spiritual advancement, the second stage is this one, young men. And John mentions it in verse 13. It's again at the end of verse 14. When we talk about this particular stage of spiritual advancement, we're thinking about believers, Christians, who have graduated out of the elementary ideas. They've graduated out of that beginning stage of Christianity, and now they're starting to grow up. They're starting to grow mature. They're growing stronger in the things of Christ. You know, by way of example, let's think about the disciples themselves. Those original disciples that Jesus picked. Those disciples that we meet in the Gospels. How about we take John, for example. John himself, who wrote this epistle that we're studying. John himself was one of those original disciples. And as you read through the Gospels, you discover how John was so young in spiritual things. Not only was he a young guy in the time of the Gospels, he was so young in spiritual things when Jesus called him. John was a novice. John was green. John was inexperienced. But as you read through the Gospels, and even as you get into the book of Acts, you see John is growing by leaps and bounds. He's growing more informed. He's growing more courageous. He's growing more passionate. And he's growing more effective for Christ. So this is the second stage of advancement for all true believers in Jesus. You know, when I look around Grace Baptist Church, when I look around this church family, I'm thankful that we have some believers who are in this stage. Believers who are full of life, full of energy. They've got a little spiritual muscle on their bones, and they want to take action. They've got some energy, and they want to serve Jesus passionately. But family, don't miss the third phase, this third stage of spiritual advancement. Here's the third one if you're taking notes, and that's fathers. Fathers. How do we define the father stage? Well, these are seasoned believers who possess experience and wisdom. You know, family, in the world of Major League Baseball, most of us are familiar with the terms rookie and veteran. Now, a rookie, of course, is a player who's brand new to the major leagues. They're brand new. They just joined the majors. But a veteran is any player who has multiple seasons under his belt. Veterans are the ones who experienced the peaks and the valleys of the 162-game season. They've lived on those extended road trips. They've made it through those daytime doubleheaders. They've played games on the road, back-to-back nights. So you have seasoned veterans. They're so important on a Major League Baseball team. They're the ones who bring steady leadership. They're the ones who have wisdom, and they're willing to share that wisdom with those up-and-coming players. You know what, friends? The Church of Jesus Christ, we have veterans too. And John refers to those veterans here. He calls them fathers. fathers. And he calls them that in verse 13. He speaks to them again in verse 14. These are Christians who are seasoned. They're experienced. They've been walking with Jesus for a while now. Not just a few weeks or a few months. No, they've been walking with Jesus faithfully for years. Some of them 10 years, 20 years, 30 years. I've met some Christians who've been walking with Jesus over 50 years. Well, you know what? At the time that this epistle was written, guess what? That's what category John was in. John was one of those fathers. He was one of those seasoned, experienced believers. He had incredible experience. He had incredible wisdom. You know what? If you look around any healthy church, you're going to see fathers. And I'm not just talking about men. It's women too. These are Christians. These are seasoned, mature believers. They have lived through it. They have lived through ups and downs of job layoffs, money challenges, raising kids, maybe raising some grandkids. They've lived through marriage challenges, health crises, relationship struggles, even some church struggles they've lived through. And they've hung in there. By God's grace, by God's word, and God's wisdom, they've hung in there. And they have wisdom that's worth listening to. And they have an example that's worth following. Look in your notes there, friends. I gave you a great quote from a New Testament commentator whose name is Simon Kistemaker. And he says this, quote, "The Christian community looks to the spiritual fathers for leadership, and they in turn must care for the spiritual children. They are responsible to hand the torch of the gospel light to the next generation, namely the younger believers in the church." Well, Christian friends, now that we've considered these three important stages of spiritual advancement, I want to ask you a question. Where are you amongst these three stages? Where are you today? Are you still in that children's stage? Still green? Still growing? Still learning? Or are you in that next stage? Are you the growing, vibrant, young person? Are you energetic and vibrant? You've got some muscles and you've got energy and excitement. Or are you a mature, experienced father? Are you one who has the wisdom and the experience? Now that's an important question. At what stage do you find yourself, Christian? But here's an even more important question. Are you still advancing? Are you still advancing in your spiritual maturity? If you're a new Christian, are you seeking out those opportunities to keep learning, to keep growing? If you're in that middle stage, are you exercising your spiritual muscles regularly? Are you serving? Are you involved? Are you passionately giving of yourself, your time, your money, your energy to make a difference for Christ? And then what about you mature veterans? Listen, just because you're a seasoned Christian, just because you have some experience, just because you have wisdom, doesn't mean it's your job to just sit around and make decisions and tell younger people what to do. No, if you are genuinely mature, your job is to be discipling and equipping and encouraging those who are coming up behind you. So I would ask you, mature Christian, seasoned vet, father, spiritual father, I would ask you, who are you encouraging behind you? Who are you strengthening and equipping and encouraging so that someone of the next generation behind you can be a faithful believer the way that you have been a faithful believer? Mature Christian, may I remind you that the Apostle Paul mentored Timothy. He mentored Titus. How about Peter? Peter impacted young John Mark. The Apostle John, as you learned today in what we heard in 5 minutes from church history, even John discipled a young Christian whose name was Polycarp. And Polycarp would go on to be a very influential church leader for Christ. The point is, Christian friends, all of us are to be spiritually advancing. Life always fosters growth. Life always fosters growth. Health always fosters development. So if you are a true Christian, you will be spiritually advancing. Well, family, today in this message, we're learning about spiritual advancement. And in this section that the Apostle John is writing, he identifies these three categories, these three groups of people. You've got children, you've got young people, and you've got fathers. He's not merely speaking to physical categories. He's not merely talking about biological groups. He's talking about these three stages of spiritual growth in which every congregation, every Christian is moving through these three stages. But family, I want you to see next that in addition to naming these three stages of Christian growth, I want you to also see that John delivers some really encouraging words here to these Christians. These Christians that are moving through these stages of growth, John has some encouraging things to say so that their faith, so that their assurance would be strengthened. Now, as I said to you at the beginning of this message, these Christians were coming under some hardships with false teaching. And some of these Christians were really getting thrown off kilter, such that they were even struggling with, do I really have a relationship with God? I've got the apostles and the Word of God are saying these things, and these false teachers and these other teachers over here are saying these things. Do I really have the right thing? Do I really have a relationship with God? Some of these Christians were so off center with what they had been hearing from these teachers, they were struggling with their own assurance. And so friends, as we sweep across these verses again, I want to show you here three great experiences, three encouraging experiences that happen to all true believers. These are three experiences that are sure to build up your assurance and to give you a growing confidence as a Christian. Let's talk about these three experiences as John mentions them. Here's number one. True believers are advancing in victories over sin and Satan. True believers are advancing in victories over sin and Satan. Now just step with me again, family. Look at verses 12 through 14. Just skim down through. Notice, as John is writing to these believers, notice he says that he is writing because. Look at how many times the word because shows up in these scriptures. Now that word because is showing up in the second half of these verses. The reason for that is because John is trying to encourage these Christians. He is not giving them a command that they need to follow. He's not giving them something that they need to buckle down and accomplish. Get this done. No, he's not saying that. These are all realities that they're already experiencing. Because they are true believers, these are experiences that are happening in their lives, and John wants them to take confidence, to be assured of who they are, because these things are happening in their lives. False teachers might be knocking them off a little center, but these are the truths that are going to give them fresh encouragement, going to restore their confidence, rebuild their assurance. Look at verse 12. John says, I'm writing because your sins are forgiven for His name's sake. You know, churches today, friends, tackle a lot of topics. If you pay attention like I do to what churches are out there teaching and preaching on and what they're doing their sermon series on, man, churches are trying to cover a lot of ground today. But listen, nothing that we proclaim, nothing that we teach is more important than the forgiveness of sins in Jesus Christ. Nothing is more important than the forgiveness of sins, which happens, as John says, for His name's sake. Who is that? That's Jesus Christ. How many times did we see in the Gospels as Jesus was continuing His public ministry? How many times did Jesus say to someone, your sins are forgiven you? Oh, Christian friend, what a joy to know that Jesus has said that to you. If you are a true Christian, Jesus has said that to you. Your sins are forgiven you. It doesn't matter if you've been a Christian for 6 months or 60 years. The forgiveness of sins in Jesus Christ is the same. All of your sins, Christian, all of your sins, sins past, sins present, and even sins of your future, even the sins that you haven't yet committed, even those future sins, the Bible says, all is forgiven. All is forgiven for you, Christian, because of His name, because of Jesus Christ, for what Jesus did for you. And did you notice, not only has every Christian been given a victory over sin's dominion, John also mentions in these verses we have victory over Satan's domination as well. Look at verses 13 and 14. Two times there, John says, we have overcome the evil one. We've overcome Satan, the evil one. Yes, on this side of heaven, you and I, as Christians, we're still going to have battles. We're still going to have those fights against Satan. There's going to be skirmishes. There's going to be some engagements, but the Bible assures us that the war has already been won. The war has been won through Jesus, and you and I are overcomers. We are on the victor's side. Isn't that encouraging? Doesn't that build up your strength? Doesn't that build your encouragement? That's what John is doing for these believers. Look what else is true about these believers. Number two, true believers are advancing in their relationship with God through Christ. This is true of every believer. True believers are advancing, number two, in their relationship with God through Christ. Now, friends, we're looking at these verses together. John addresses the little children, the young people, the fathers. Notice how many times in these verses John talks about knowing God, knowing the Father, knowing Christ. Look at verse 13. And he says it again in verse 14. John says, because, I'm writing to you, because you know Him who is from the beginning. Now, if you've been here with us on Sunday mornings in some earlier messages in 1 John, in this series, we learned that that statement, who is from the beginning, that's speaking of Jesus Christ. Jesus is the eternal Son of God from all eternity past. So every true Christian, what John says is every true Christian knows Jesus Christ. And you remember what Jesus taught back in the Gospels? Jesus said that anyone who knows Him also knows the Father. In John chapter 14, Jesus is there in the upper room with His disciples. You remember Philip asked Jesus, show us the Father. Oh, Jesus, if you could just show us the Father, it would be great. And Jesus said there in John 14, verse 9, have I been with you so long, and you still do not know me, Philip? Whoever has seen me has seen the Father. So how can you say, show us the Father? Do you not believe that I am in the Father, and the Father is in me? The words I say to you, I do not speak on my own authority, but the Father who dwells in me does His works. Listen, this is great news. This is encouraging news. This is soul-strengthening news. This builds your assurance, Christian. Every true Christian knows Christ and knows the Father. Look at verse 13. John writes, I write to you, children, because you know the Father. So John the Apostle is encouraging these believers. He's trying to give their assurance a boost. Because they are believers, they have forgiveness of sins. They have victory over sin. They have victory over Satan. And they really do have a living, vibrant relationship with God through Jesus Christ. You know, maybe you're listening to this message today and you don't have confidence that you're right with God. Maybe you're listening and you don't have that assurance in your heart that your sins are truly forgiven. Maybe if you died today, you are not certain. You don't have certainty that you would spend eternity with God in heaven. Well, friend, that confidence can be yours. That assurance, that confidence, it can be yours today. If you would turn from your sins and put your wholehearted trust in Jesus Christ, the Savior. You know, just a few chapters from now, over in 1 John chapter 5, John the Apostle writes these amazing words. He writes this, "And this is the testimony that God gave us eternal life, and this life is in His Son. Whoever has the Son has life. Whoever does not have the Son of God does not have life." Friend, if you can't say for sure today that you don't have eternal life through Jesus Christ the Son, well, friend, I pray today. I pray today is the day. Today will be that day of assurance. Today will be the day of confidence for you, friend. Today would be the day you bow your head in prayer, that you do confess your sins to the God who knows you and sees all in you, acknowledge your sins to Him, and then invite Jesus Christ to be your Savior, the Savior who will forgive you of your sins and give you that gift of everlasting life. Well, family, this is a great scripture from John's pen. And John writes to encourage these believers. He writes to them because he wants them to see these truths that are real, these experiences that are happening in their lives because they are true believers. But there's one more here, one more experience that John says all true Christians are experiencing. Number three, true believers are advancing in the strength of sound doctrine. Number three, true believers are advancing in the strength of sound doctrine. You know, family, I can tell this story now because my little boy Carter is down in Children's Church. But for the last few months, Carter has been coming up to me numerous times at home. And he comes up to me, approaches me with his bicep flexed. And he says, "Dad, feel my muscle." And I feel it, and of course, it's tiny. You know, it's there, but it's real small. You know, he's only going to be in first grade this fall, so it's real small, but it's there, just underneath. And he wants me to feel his muscles. He wants me to see how strong he is. Well, believers, look at verse 14. John tells these Christian young men, he says, "You are strong." But you know what? John isn't talking here about physical strength, is he? No, he's talking about spiritual vitality. He's talking about spiritual strength that these believers that he was writing to, these believers have been putting some spiritual strength on display. Ah, but the question is, what makes them strong? Well, look at how the verse continues. "And the Word of God abides in you." The Word of God abides in you. So, what is the secret to the strong Christian life? The secret to spiritual strength, we see it here, is this commitment to embracing the Word of God, to embracing the sound doctrine, the truth that comes from the Word of God, and then putting it in practice in everyday life. Dear friends, what a great reminder that is for you and me this morning. You know, I look at the state of the evangelical world today and I see some believers who just flit around like butterflies in summer, from flower to flower to flower to flower. And I see so many Christians who are so weak, who have so little spiritual strength, and they're just chasing it everywhere but the right place. I see Christians today looking for the next Christian book. They're looking to watch the next viral video. Oh, they're looking for the next celebrity preacher who's going to be so great. Oh, did you hear about this latest cool podcast? Oh, they're excited about that. Or what about this next article? Or this next blogger? Or this next writer? As if any of those things is somehow going to be the magical key that unlocks spiritual strength. Friends, John reminds us there's just one place to go. The secret to all spiritual strength comes from God's Word. You digest sound doctrine, you get it in you, you digest it, and then you live it. You live it, and that is the means of spiritual strength. The Bible says strength comes. If we were to put it in the words or the phrases of 1 John that we've been studying, how does spiritual strength come? Well, in the phraseology of 1 John, strength comes when you walk in the light, when you live by the truth, when you obey God's commands, when you keep in fellowship with His people. These are the ways that you grow spiritual strength as you keep advancing. Well, family, as we draw to a close now, today in this message, we have talked about the importance of spiritual advancement. Listen, just like healthy plants, healthy trees, healthy children will continue to grow, continue to mature, so it should be, Christian friend, with your spiritual life, your spiritual life journey. All of us, every Christian here today, is making our way through these three stages of advancement, where the novice grows into the experienced, and then the experienced grows into a seasoned maturity, and then that seasoned maturity passes on the knowledge and the skills to the next generation. And guess what happens? As that cycle happens, the Christian church keeps growing, and that cycle keeps advancing. And every new generation of believers that walks onto the scene are taught and strengthened and matured and multiplied. Listen, in whatever stage you find yourself today, Christian friend, make it your aim to keep advancing. Keep advancing. Because as you are advancing, that is one of the truest signs that you really belong to Jesus. Friends, as you leave this place and head out for a new week, you can do it with confidence. You can do it with bold assurance because of all you have in Jesus Christ. And we've looked today at what you have in Jesus. You have forgiveness of all your sins. You have victory over the devil. You have a genuine relationship with God. You have real spiritual strength through the Word of God that makes you an overcomer. So Christian, when you wake up tomorrow morning, you face the challenge of a new day and a new week, you need to tell yourself the truth. Truth that sounds like this: I can do all things through Christ who gives me strength. Listen, Christian friend, the Christian life is not a game. But I can tell you this: because you are in Jesus Christ, there is no red light for you on the path of spiritual advancement. No, you are in Jesus. And because you are in Jesus, it is the green light all the way for you.
Thanks for listening. This Preaching for a Change broadcast has been brought to you by the Grace Baptist Church of Hazleton, Pennsylvania. For more information, visit us online at mygracebaptist.church. If you enjoyed this broadcast, then share it with a friend on your favorite social media network. And be sure to join us next time for more enlightening and encouraging biblical exposition here on Preaching for a Change.